Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Coming up on TMS, Taylor goes in, baby comes out. You can't explain that.
Point me in the direction of your Schlongschlager.
For room service, press 2. For corpse removal, press 3.
Ball bearings of chocolate.
I don't like spreadable meat.
Grimace, ribbed for your pleasure.
Who the hell is Tyler?
The $5 F me.
Firm buns for my organ meat.
Jabber jaw jujitsu jerks.
Fiddle Brian's knobs.
Don't give this man scissors.
Buy a jet and eat a pig.
Getting grounded with Bill.
Bago science with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
And in the foyer, you can obtain leading brands of cigarettes and confectionery.
Damn pagans must be living on no dose.
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It's Tuesday, October 4th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott.
Oh, man. We had a three-year-old at the house all night, and he's all nervous because he's going to have a sister in a couple hours.
Oh, is he excited?
Yeah. I mean,
he doesn't even know. He has no idea how his life is about to change.
No, he has no idea. Brother. He just knows it's exciting and that there's, you know, talk of what's going on. And he's been, you know, talking about this thing that's in his mom's gut for, you know, the last 7 to 8 months. And now it's time. And he's just sort of having fun here. He's just chilling, you know, watching Bluey, wearing his Spider-Man jammies. Chilling.
I saw those cute on Twitter. I want a pair myself. They're so dang cute.
I thought you liked Spider-Man, but this kid, man,
yeah,
he loves it. All you have to do is say Spider-Man.
I'll challenge him. I will challenge him to a Spider-Man like-off.
Kid does this to you all the time. He's like puts the hands out with the things, and he's always throwing the goat like he's shooting webs and stuff.
Does I'll bet he doesn't own a Spider-Man fidget cube.
I'll bet he doesn't. I bet you do, though. Yep, look at that.
I do. Yeah, darn right.
What does that have on it? How many things can I do on your fidget?
Well, 9. One on each side, right? Six. Six-sided cube. Cubes have 6 sides.
That's a
D9. Actually, take that back. No, because there are multiple things on a couple of these sides. Like, this side has spinny knobs and a rolly ball.
Yeah, yeah.
This one has 5 different levels of push. Like, one's clicky.
Oh, yeah.
But then some of them are squishy. One of them's kind of clicky.
Oh,
cherry switches versus brown switches.
Ah, gotcha.
So actually, my 9 might have been pretty close to
it. It might have been much closer.
Accurate.
It's like a 12-sided fidget cube.
Zed spins. Ooh.
Oh, nice. Do his eyes do anything if I fiddle with those?
No.
Okay.
No.
So, all right. Well, don't fiddle with Superman.
A light switch. Yeah, actually, this probably has more than 9 because if you count each of these 5 buttons is different things because they're different levels of clickiness, then golly, this thing has a lot. Golly,
look,
people like it when I say golly on this show.
They sure do.
Holy cow, they like that one too.
No, it's like you're a throwback to our parents' generation when you talk.
That's
like
right.
That. Yeah.
I love it. Golly,
what are we doing here?
What a bunch of malarkey.
Well, it's good I played Colonel Potter at the beginning because he does that as well.
Yes,
well,
it's very, very appropriate.
Thanks. You're in good company. All right, so here's the deal.
Yes.
This is, as I understand it, here's my medical understanding.
Okay.
Taylor goes in. They You know, they smack her belly around a little bit, just whack, whack, whack with like a stick or something.
Okay.
And then they say, all right, get up on the treadmill and give us a 45 minute. And then she'll do that. And then after that, they make her eat an entire lasagna, a whole lasagna. Just fork it down.
Well, no, you want something greasier, so the baby just slides right out.
Oh, I see. It's there to help get that going. All right. Well, and then they lay her in this bed, and they put a mask on her, and they say, wait. And that's it. That's the deal. And then
Meanwhile, Tyler is in the other room chain-smoking cigarettes and pacing back and forth.
Yes, except Dylan is the name you meant, but yes, Tyler. Whoever this Tyler is that you mentioned, yes.
I'm sorry, not Tyler. Dylan.
I'm like, wait a minute.
I took the Y from Dylan and put it into Taylor and made Tyler somehow.
I want to meet this Tyler guy.
Who the hell is Tyler?
I don't know. Gosh. Look, it's Tuesday morning. It's early. We don't know what we're saying yet.
All right. Okay. Dylan is pacing back. Let's get to my joke about what we learned from 1960s television about the husband waiting, pacing back and forth, chain smoking cigarettes in the waiting
room. All right. Look, all I ever knew growing up was that was what it was. Like all the cartoons, TV shows. That's
right. They just pace back and forth.
Yeah, that's what the husband did.
Lighting the next cigarette with the previous one.
And it turns out the truth was always that he's in the room with her. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to go out there and smoke a cigar and pace the floor. That doesn't work that way.
That's right.
Unless you're weird. Like maybe you're weird and you want to... You know, you want to be outside.
Maybe you faint at the sight of amniotic fluid.
Yeah, or cords that aren't there normally.
Why is there a cord coming out of my wife?
That's right. So anyway, that's the one thing they don't let you do anymore. At least they haven't with her. You can't. He doesn't get to snip the cord anymore.
I didn't get to snip the cord either. I didn't ask though, they didn't offer, but I don't think I would have gotten to. Did you get to with all your kids?
Only one. The other two, they said no. And so something must have changed in the mid-90s.
Or they didn't like how you did the first
one. Yeah. There was some note in the records that said, don't give this man scissors.
This guy, exactly.
He's going to give the nurse, he'll snip the nurse's nipple by accident. Don't do it. Anyway, we hope it goes well. It should go fine. Everything's pointing to success. She's got all the right tests. Everything's good. And she's supposed to be somewhere between the talk is somewhere between now and around 4, which is about how long it took Van to be induced and then finally get here.
Okay.
And then we'll know.
Cool.
And then we got it. And then we're going to. So the plan is we FaceTime him first or FaceTime them because they don't want us at the hospital. Mm-hmm. Mainly because it's still weird at hospitals with masks and stuff with babies. You can't, they still won't let you like go in there like they used to. It's not quite the same as it used to be.
Sure.
And so until they change, however that works, it'll be whatever it is. So what they're going to do is they're going to have the baby FaceTime us. We'll get to see the little thing, you know, lizard form of the baby. Right. Yeah. And then later they'll stay there tonight. Actually, I don't know how long they're staying there. We're just going to keep Van for as long as they need us to. And then when they're done, then we take Van over there to the house, meet the baby, get them all settled in, and then that's it. And then we're good. And very then cool. The job is complete.
Then no more work at all.
That's it.
You're exactly. All the hard part is over, and it's just easy.
Smooth sailing, you know, nothing.
Smooth sailing going forward.
They went from zone to man defense, and they're going to just deal with it. So anyway, it's all very exciting. I'll keep everybody informed. It may or may not affect when we have Play Retro today. If it ends up happening right around then, we might push it to Wednesday. Play Retro, not the baby. And we'll let you know. Okay, so keep your eye on the prize. I got a thing to ask you. I almost forgot. It's not in our notes.
Okay. Ask away, Scott.
Had a dream about Vegas last night, and it's not a weird dream. It was just a common standard dream, but it was about Las Vegas, and there was a lot of Vegas things, lights, and just Vegas-y things going on. And it felt kind of like the 60s for some reason, so there's a lot of old cars, and yet it was the new strip. Anyway, didn't make sense.
There was a hotel shaped like a weird spaceship on a stick.
Yes, spaceship on a stick. Oh, it's my favorite.
That was a great one.
It was a really good one. So, but I woke up with this question, and I wrote this down at 2:30 this morning. Because I wanted to ask you.
Yes. All right, good. Because everything good happens at that time of day.
I mean, I usually, I'll vet it in the morning and go, was this any good? Like sometimes, because I'll write like a comic joke for Fred and Can sometimes, and by the time morning comes around, I'm like, well, that was terrible. I'm not using that. That's a bad joke. So that didn't happen here. So here's your question. What would you do, Brian Ibbett, if you found a dead body in your hotel room in Las Vegas?
Oh, like, okay, so I check in, immediately open the door, and oh my God, there's a dead body, or...
No, here's how it would work.
Next morning when I finally pull the shower curtain open, and it's like, ah!
Well, that's even better. But let's say, okay, so the way I pictured it in my head was a little bit more like that Four Rooms thing we watched.
Stuffed in a mattress, basically.
Yeah, so under the bed, mushed under the bed.
Sex worker.
Yes, exactly. Sex worker under the bed. And you don't know it's there until about 2 or 3 in the morning. You just kind of... It's like, oh, something smells bad. What is this?
I was going to say, like the kids in that segment of Four Rooms, they're like,
yeah.
What smells? Is it my feet? No, it's not my feet. Is it her feet? No, it's not her feet.
And chat room's already trying to jump on this and says, well, you call the cops. Duh. No, I know that. What I'm saying is, what is your initial reaction? Like when you see it,
I would go, blah. And then actually, I figured out through a Lyft ride yesterday that my gut reaction, not thought out response to something is saying F me, like, but I say the actual word,
sure,
F me. Oh yeah, right. It's like,
okay,
oh, fuck me, right?
Yeah.
And I found this out because I was taking this kid Darius to Union Station and was looking at the Lyft map, and it said, all right, I mean, it looks like I'm turning at the next intersection, turning right. I turn right. I see, instead of a yellow line dividing the road, I see nothing but white lines, striped lines or dashed lines, and a car coming towards me. And I immediately go, F me, and I do a little U-turn, and I'm back on the road. So apparently I was about to take him down a one-way street going the wrong way.
Oh, and he was in the car with you and you said F me.
He was in the car with me.
Okay.
And got him to Union Station, and the dude still gave me a $5 tip.
Nice.
Handed me, like, it wasn't like he just absentmindedly put it in the app. He actually physically handed me a $5 bill.
Yeah.
So,
well, he didn't want to actually F you, just wanted to give you some money.
No, I'm pretty sure he did not.
No.
Yes.
Well, that's okay. So now, so you kind of know what your gut, what your initial will be.
Yeah, that is. So that would be the first thing I'd say when I discover a dead person in the hotel room.
Yeah. And here's what you had to do, by the way. Would you, you, if you smelled it at 2 a.m., would you start, would you try to find out what's going on first? Or would you think to say, well, I don't want to find a body, so I'm going to call somebody and then they're going to find, like, how would you do that?
Oh, that's a really good question. I mean, I don't think I've ever smelled a dead body, so I don't know if I'd think, oh, what is that? Is that like the toilet backed up? Is that something coming through the vents, through the radiator? So I don't know if I'd instantly recognize and say, oh, that's a dead body. Do something about it.
I feel like I'd be the same. I think I wouldn't know right away. You know?
Yeah.
Like I'd just say, this room just smells bad. You know, I'd call him the next morning and say, my room stinks. Give me a new room.
Yeah. That's probably, I mean, I don't know if it would just all of a sudden start smelling it too. If there's a dead body in there, it's probably smelling when I get into the room.
Probably. Yes. Unless the maid, Maria was in there a half an hour earlier, really spraying down the place, you know, like maybe it's just, she Febrezed it top ceiling to floor. And it's just like, wonderful when you get there, right? Because she's covering the 70s smoke that used to be in the Flamingo.
And we know housekeeping can be any nationality or gender or...
Oh, yeah. I know lots of Marias who aren't necessarily of Hispanic descent. So, yeah. You know, Maria. Just Maria.
What do you do with a problem like Maria? All right. So let's say just that evening, I come back from Chino Poblano or Lost Spirits Distillery after having some rum, and I come in the room after, this is a few hours after I've checked in. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, it smells really bad in here. Mm-hmm. I probably look for the source and still be ready to call housekeeping and say, or call the front desk and say, yeah, this room stinks. Something in this room stinks.
Yeah.
Once I found the source, I would say the prerequisite F me. And I would, geez, here's the tough part is that I'd want to call the front desk.
Yep.
Which means I have to use the house phone in my room, because they don't usually have them in the hallways until you get to the elevator.
You could call the main, you know, like if you were just someone calling to check rates or something, like you could call out from outside.
Getting their voice, their press one for reservations. Press two. If you have an existing reservation, there's no way I'm getting to the front desk calling the main number without 15 minutes of problems.
That's true.
So I would do zero front desk. There's a dead body in my room. I'll be outside my room.
Yeah. And then you'd probably take all your shiz out because they're going to move you then.
I would at least, yeah. I mean, I don't even know if I'd wait the time to pack. I'd probably grab my laptop bag because who knows how long it's going to be before I'm able to get in my room again.
Yeah. And but you don't want to be in there again, right? Like, you'd want to be the F out
no.
of there.
No. Oh, hell no. Yeah, no. Yeah. I'd move me to a new room, for Pete's sake.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, almost a different floor, almost a different hotel. Like, if it's MGM Group, just moving to one of your other hotels is what I would say.
Oh, I'd be fine with a different room, even in the same hotel. Even probably on the same floor of the hotel I'm in. I don't care. I figure.
I think that would bug me. I couldn't sleep or something.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Why? Do you think the ghost of...
No. It's just something about... being there. It's like owning a car where, you know, somebody got shot in the head or something. Like, I remember when I told you about that car my dad had where the bullet was still rattling around the door
and stuff. Yeah,
had blood all in the caked into the chair when he got it, and he got such this amazing deal on it, and he was like, it was such a good deal, Scott, you know, you could buy it from me. We could fix it up, you know, clean it all up, get it all set, you'd have a pretty new car for real cheap.
Sure. Like,
no, I can't do one where someone got shot.
That it's a very different, that I would equate just to the room itself. Like if they say, hey, we got the dead body out and we've completely, we have a special hotel level Febreze that we used in there and there's no smell whatsoever. There's nothing. The room is pristine. I'd say, nah, give me another room.
Gotcha.
But I wouldn't say give me another hotel or even, I wouldn't even say give me another floor. Okay. I would say. Yeah,
but the next day at that hotel, when they if they reopen, whenever that room gets reopened, it's like a hot Taco Bell after food poisoning. It's when you want to go because it'll be the cleanest it'll ever be.
That's right.
Never be better. Right.
Yeah. Let's see. Claire says new hotel. Dice Station Zebra says new hotel. Rainbow Bright says new hotel. I just don't know what, you know.
I think they don't trust the hotel.
Dead bodies happen to every single hotel on the strip, and I'm sure on a daily basis there's at least one dead body in a hotel somewhere in Vegas. So.
Yeah, but I'm guessing not shoved, stuffed under your bed. So that's someone just dying
on the bed. So that is the discovered.
Because that means you got some gnarly crime that happened.
Yeah, great. So whatever hotel I move to is the one that the killer moved to because no way is he dumb enough to stay in the same hotel after he shoved a sex worker into the mattress at the Mandalay Bay.
Yeah. No, that's a fair point. I think you're actually more correct that the room down the hall is going to be the better choice if you're avoiding that killer. Right? Because he's moved on. Exactly. He's not
there anymore. There's no way. He won't even stay on the same floor. Like, if he goes anywhere, he's going to go to a different floor in the same hotel.
Yeah.
But my guess, he's going to a whole different hotel, or he's just getting the F out of Dodge. Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, Rebel Scum says, I'm with Brian. I think new room is just fine. And guess what? Mm. If I keep at the same hotel, I'm getting treated like a king.
Oh, that's true. You're going to get your money back if you want to demand it, you'll get it. Right. And still you'll get to stay there and they'll give you some voucher for something like, yes, you know what?
Yeah.
I've come around. I don't want it right next to it though. Next to it is a problem.
No. Definitely no adjoining rooms. Thank you. No,
I don't want one of those where it's a door just between you. There's a thin wall. Freaking F that. I want to be far enough away.
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
And I'd probably still struggle to sleep a little bit. Cause it just would freak me out. It's like, dude, bye.
Well, by that time there's cameras everywhere down the halls and everywhere. So by that time, they'll figure out what they're looking for and probably see, he went down the hall. He took the stairs down. Looks like he came out on floor 5. He went across to the elevator lobby, took the elevator down and left. And now he's at the league.
Yeah. It's Steve Wynn. It was Steve Wynn the entire time.
No worries. I won't see him there.
Yeah. There you have it. Well, I'm glad I got that answered. That was an important question that was burning.
Yes, I'm glad you asked. Yeah. Glad you asked.
It was really making a mess of my mental hotel room. All right, moving on. We got an email from Cappy who wrote in, and I wanted to read this at the top of the show just because, and it says this. I don't know if Brian has knowledge of this or not. I've been a week plus behind on the show due to the hurricane. No worries. I live in Tampa and it mostly missed us. I remember when Tampa was like the main target and then, and then it shifted. You guys got
and then
lucky.
It shifted. Yeah.
Anyway, he says, so it's fun, trash reality show, The Circle, but Scary Spice and Baby Spice are in the new season. So this show called The Circle. Can I get Brian a fish sandwich and a sausage? Love the show, though. Yeah, I'll play both those things. However, is this a thing you were aware of? There's a reality
show?
It is.
Okay. I watched the first episode. Do you know what The Circle is? What the basis of this absolute garbage of a reality show is?
Please tell. Well, I don't have no idea.
It is about social media. It's about influencers who are competing to be the best influencer. And they're stuck in a super trendy apartment with a touchscreen television. They're alone in their rooms.
Yeah.
And they touch the screen to get their task for the day. And I pushed myself to watch one episode, and that was even difficult.
I hate everything. Believe me, I hate everything about what you've said. I hate it. I don't want to.
And listen, we watched Love is Blind. We've seen garbage television. We watched a season of The Bachelorette because we wanted to see that train wreck. Ugh. Never again. Ugh. But and it's Twitter, 100% advertising for Twitter, says Tom Norm. Really? So it's not even like all the social medias, Instagram and Snapchat. And
I haven't heard a thing about this. I had no idea. And it's all Twitter. They're just Twitter influencers. Apparently
they're just Twitter influencers. Okay.
Well. Boring. That's boring.
Influencer, by the way, is I think it's the only designation that I hate with a passion, but I wish I could be one.
Like, you hate the term.
I would like to never hear the phrase influencer ever again unless it's applied to me.
But you are one. You are an influencer. You influence people all the time.
Where's my free Doritos to talk about on social media?
Well,
where's my free Tesla?
It's a scale.
To drive around and say, look, I'm driving a Tesla. I'm influencer Brian Ibbett.
It's a scale. So if you're talking about those people with, millions of followers, that's a different category, I suppose.
Okay.
But like, if you get on this show and go, you guys, I really liked this replica thing I got from Lego for this Marvel thing. People go buy that shit because you liked it. You influence, Brian.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. By that term, everybody here is an influencer. However, I know what you mean. You're talking like these mega buck freaking ninja types who are,
Listen, the only. It's great. Thank you all for watching stuff like The Outlaws and Parasite when I recommend them and things like that. Present company excluded. But I want the perks that come with being an influencer. Hearing you guys say, "Oh, I like what you watch, Brian, and thank you for that recommendation." That's nice. That's a very nice perk. But I want, come on, give me the cash.
The pieces and parts is what you're looking for.
Exactly.
I feel you. Well, anyway.
So if anyone knows that path to say, here are my 12,500 followers. Where do I cash this in for free Pepsi?
Well, I'm still confused, though, why these Spice Girls are involved. Are they influencers in it, or are they doing something else in it?
I think they're judges. I think they're... And that's the worst part. The absolute worst part. I sat through the entire first episode. At the very end, they say, and guess who's coming in to be a judge this season? And they show Emma and Mel B's legs walking down the hall. Find out next time on The Circle. It's like, nope, I guess I'll never find out exactly who that is, even though I know exactly who that is, but bye-bye.
Who's doing this show? Where am I supposed to be watching it? Do you know?
Netflix, I believe.
Netflix, is it? Okay. Well, I'll avoid it, but it sounds like a nightmare. You know what else I don't ever want to see? I don't ever want to see that Hulu show that's about those two girls that are like mega popular on TikTok, the D'Amelio girls.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never do it. I'll never watch it.
Yeah, no.
I can't do it, man. I get it. There's a generation or there's somebody out there that's like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to see Charlie D'Amelio and her sister Dixie. What are they up to today? Oh, I don't know. No. Buying a jet and then eating a pig? Oh, yay! I don't want to see that.
No, can't do it. Give me more knowledge-based game shows. I like Jeopardy. I like The Chase. Give me a few more things like that, not things where people have to pull rubber mallets and giant baby bottles out of a stack of things and prevent that giant stack from falling on top of them.
I agree. We're in full agreement here. All right. Thank you, Cappy. I appreciate it.
Quiz shows. Separate them from
there you go.
Stacked or whatever that thing is.
Like the movie Quiz Show. Great movie. I want to give a special shout out, birthday shout out. To Teresa Ozoa. I always say Ozoa. Is it Ozoa? Ozoa.
Ozoa. Yeah. Ozoa.
Yeah. I never call her
Rogue
by her
Test.
Last name.
Let's call her Rogue Test.
Rogue Test, yeah. But anyway, it's her birthday today, and she rocks, and I just love her, and I hope she's having a great day, and that she knows people are thinking about her. So, Teresa, happy freaking birthday, all right?
For sure.
From us to you. It's time for the news. It's the news, and it's brought to you by...
Choking on a chicken bone.
Oh, woo-hoo, almost said
that
was
close.
Wrong.
I misread your message, your note there.
Yeah, I had some chicken from a Thai place that's very good, but I don't think Thai chefs know how to take the bones out properly in certain parts of the chicken. Like there's certain, I don't know what the you don't even know what these are called. There's like a bundle of bones in certain parts of near the thigh and where it connects to the
like that long, skinny, thin bone that always seems to get forgotten.
Always forget it, and then it's tiny and it shatters, and you get it stuck in your throat, and it's awful if you eat it. That happened to me yesterday. Thanks a lot, Thai chicken bones.
They need to take the time. You know, we know you're producing a lot of meals for a lot of different people all at once, but take the time and get the bones out.
Yeah, get the bones out. That's what I say. Mm-hmm. Check this out. Here's a story about Spam. Speaking of boneless meat. Meat with tiny specks of bone in it.
Tiny bones, which is exactly what Spam is.
It always, you can always see it. You open it up and you see little white dots. You're like...
It is like, more cartilage.
Yeah.
Held together by a meat paste.
Yeah.
Yeah,
thanks. It's not good. Anyway, apparently it's become very cool again. So, Brian, maybe this will sway you. I don't know.
Probably not.
The 85-year-old canned block of meat has undergone a cultural reinvention. Hormel traded on the stock market as HRL. I'm glad they told us that, so I know where to go.
Exactly. There's five people out there furiously writing down that stock code so that they can.
Can't wait to get my
sell all my IBM and buy Hormel.
They sold a record amount of Spam for seven straight years. 2022 is on pace for such another milestone. This will be the biggest year in Spam sales. The conglomerate behind Skippy and Genio Turkey, I don't know why I said Genio. Genio Turkey. Never heard of that. Never heard of Genio Turkey. Is that a thing?
Really? That's a very common.
What you got there? Some Genio Turkey you've got there?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's a very, very common brand of lunch meats and stuff.
I feel like we don't have it here. Do you like the Genio Turkey? Are you
fine? It's fine. Yeah. Tina pretty much sticks to... God, what is the brand? It's like shaved thin lunch meats and stuff, shaved thin cold cuts. And I think it might be a Kroger brand.
Those are good. I like thin. I'm with her. Thin is good. But then thin lots of it.
I'll make up for it by putting, two or three slices on a sandwich. But then I've got, it's better than a big thick chunk that rips the bread when I try and bite into it.
There you go. See? We all have reasons for what we do.
See? Exactly.
It says here, they can't make Spam fast enough, and they are increasing production capacity as a result. It's a trending ingredient on TikTok and on the menu at fine dining restaurants in coastal cities. In 2019, a limited edition Spam pumpkin spice flavor sold out in minutes. You can buy it on eBay, where it goes for now about $100 per can. Man, what is going on? What is behind this phenomenon? What does this slab of cooked meat, or why does this slab of cooked meat, cooked pork, is that what it is? I never even knew it was pork.
Yeah, it's pork, yeah. It's spiced ham is what the abbreviation, like what the spam, it's it's the contraction spiced ham, spam.
Is it
ham.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm learning all kinds of new things. Now I'm into Spam. We're all doing it. Anyway, excellent. It says, why does this long-cooked pork thing, why has it been stigmatized as the fake meat, linked to wartime rations, and hilariously spoofed on Monty Python, now have cachet with foodies? The popularity in Hawaiian, Asian, and Pacific Island cuisine has influenced the growth in the United States. That's true. Like, post-World War II or during World War II, we flooded that place with this cheap, easy-to-manufacture meat product.
Yeah.
And then they took it and made it into, like, a cultural phenomenon. Now there's, like, all sorts of crazy dishes and stuff. I mean, if you... I know you don't want to eat any spam, but in what condition would you, under what conditions would you eat spam? Like if I was, let's say I was a Pacific Islander and I came to you and said, Brian, my family for 100 years has had this amazing spam recipe. You have to have it. It will change your life. Would you do it?
Last time I was in Hawaii, there was a breakfast place we went to that said, oh no, you got to try our spam musubi and got to try this with spam. And we, Tina got something, I got something. We both tried and were like, yeah, but no.
Still spam.
You know, it's like better than just spam right out of a can or thrown into a hot skillet, but that's about it. That's like basically just slightly above that. So
it's interesting though, like a brand like Spam.
Yeah.
This is probably a study in why names matter, because no one's getting stoked about Ovaltine. Nobody's losing their mind about think of some old something your parents had to, you know, I don't know. I can't think of anything else other than Ovaltine, but you know,
sarsaparilla.
Sure. Let's say, nobody's going, the resurgence of sarsaparilla, right? Nobody's doing it.
Right.
Well,
right.
Why? No. Well, I think it's because Spam has got this short, easy to say, recognizable name. It's kind of weird that it exists because it's a can of compressed meat, and that's already makes it kind of edgy and weird.
Yeah.
And it also is the word that we adopted for junk mail.
Yeah, exactly.
I think
things did not help at all when we started making spam mean something horrible like that.
And I don't even, chat's asking if Ovaltine even exists. I don't actually know if it does now.
I think it does.
My memory, or my strongest memory of Ovaltine, is they talk about it in Christmas Story, and that's all the connection I have to it. Because I didn't have Ovaltine growing up. We had, what was it, Nestle Quick? We had that.
Yeah, Nestle Quick, yeah.
Yeah.
Cotronat, 100%. I love sprinkling Ovaltine on my vanilla ice cream. Totally the way to go. Because Ovaltine, like Nestle Quick, fine powder, like it's basically chocolate dust. Ovaltine was like little tiny ball bearings of chocolate that were crispy. You put them on ice cream, and yeah, they'd melt and turn your chocolate milk into, or chocolate, your milk into chocolate milk. But, there's like a little crispiness that comes with those. Is like, oh, I like this.
I've never tried it. I should try that.
It's a good way to do it. It's a good way.
If it exists, if I can still get Ovaltine, I guess.
Yeah.
Which probably is available. I'm guessing.
I think you can. Yeah, you might be an order online kind of thing.
Well, the associate professor of Asian and Asian American Studies at Binghamton University and author of the book Dubious Gastronomy: Eating Asian in the USA. He says Spam has undergone a reputation makeover. A lot of celebrity chefs have been Asian and Asian American and reintroduced Spam to a new audience. Hmm. I feel like, here's what I feel like happened. White people forced their shitty block of meat on other parts of the planet, and then they just had no choice but to make something good out of it, because what else are you going to do? And now it's got this cachet. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like freaking fortune cookies. We invented them.
Oh, sure. Yeah, right.
And then they go to China. They love them in China. They think they're great over there.
Do they really? So they actually do give you fortune cookies in China.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When I was in Hong Kong, we got, not only did we get them, but the people there were like, oh, we love a fortune cookie. We love a fortune cookie. They kept saying.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then I didn't know. I thought it was still the origin. I was like, boy, you guys sure proud of your fortune cookies. Then I find out, you know, some years later, no, it was made here, like San Francisco or something.
We invent them. Yeah, right. It's at least, you know, the Belgians did invent French fries.
That's true.
What are your thoughts on Braunschweiger, by the way?
I don't even know what that is. What is that?
It's a meat that comes in a tube, but it's spreadable. It's like a thick, God, what is the consistency? It's like thick, like maybe Nutella or a heavier peanut butter.
But it's meat?
It's meat. It's like pate, basically.
Well, I can tell you right now.
It's like sausage, organ meat kind of stuff.
I can tell you I'm not excited about it, but let's see. I'm going to look up a picture so I can.
Yeah.
Oh, where have I seen this?
You probably had it. You've probably, you know, somebody probably got a tube of it. It comes in tubes.
So it's a spreadable, spreadable meat then. You spread it.
Spreadable meat, yeah. It's okay, like a pate.
There you go, chat. That's what it looks like. Oh, I don't trust that one on the left. Here, Brian, I'll send this to your Discord.
Oh, send it to me, yeah.
This one on the left's got some of that bone business. There you go.
Oh, maybe, but yeah, a little, like a little bit of cartilage in there kind of does look like it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Jeffrey Dahmer looking shit.
I haven't had Braunschweiger in probably 30 years, but I kind of miss it. I kind of like Braunschweiger.
I would try it for the show.
It's, you've got to have firm bread to eat Braunschweiger, like to spread it on a sandwich, because again, that stuff is if you're working with Wonder Bread, you're gonna rip that stuff up.
Well, there's a whole lot of the pictures I'm seeing, a lot of usage on crackers and other stuff. You're right, it's all stiff stuff, and the breads even are that they show here, like this might be like a hard rye or something. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what, I'll try your Braunschweiger. I've never tried it.
L. Fleming says good on toast with butter, try sourdough. That sounds really good.
But where's this meat coming from? Do we know where this comes from?
Yeah, it's organ meat. It's like,
like just it's all the leavings, right? It's like, well, like hot dogs. It's like,
kind of, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Depending on the recipe, it's spreadable like pate. Oh, here we go. Braunschweiger has been made from raw minced pork or beef organ meat and spiced with garlic, salt, and pepper. You can make it at home with a number of spices like allspice, coriander, marjoram, mustard seed, nutmeg, thyme, and white pepper. Organ meat, including liver, a variety of seasonings stuffed into a sausage casing to easily enjoy.
Enjoy.
Take some and enjoy it.
Yeah, nobody's going to eat organ meat unless you make it in this form. So I guess it is easier to enjoy than somebody's spleen on the table. Well, all right. You know what?
I
I'll try.
That's the thing. I don't know why I like Braunschweiger, but I can't do Spam because they're almost, you know, Spam is just firmer Braunschweiger, basically.
Yeah, that is interesting. It's not really that different, is it?
No, really isn't.
Or is it? And I'm just not. I don't know. I don't know if
maybe,
about it.
Maybe I'm missing something. But
I can go to a store.
Spam isn't made from organ meat. It's made from like hooves and. pig toenails and stuff, right? No,
I do like a little fried
pork
Spam.
Shoulder. Okay, so Spam is pork shoulder and ham. All right.
Wow. See, that sounds less gross than Schlongschlager or whatever you called it.
Well, no, I know it's made from ham, Icor, but Braunschweiger is also made from pork. It's just not pork shoulder.
Yeah, it's pork penis and pork foot and pork intestines. Yeah.
There's some beef Braunschweiger, but it looks like it was pork is. One of the common ingredients.
Well, I may grab a tube and talk about it later on the show.
A tube and talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going down to Sprouts today. I'm going to say, point me in the direction of your Schlongschlager or whatever it's called.
Braunschweiger.
And they're going to go, hey, right over here, buddy. And I'll grab me a big old hunk of it that looks like, you know, cookie dough, one of those cookie dough tubes full of meat.
That's exactly what it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. Bring that home. Smear that on something.
Sure.
Good.
Sure. And if you're getting it Sprouts, it'll probably be really good.
Yeah, I like Sprouts. They're awesome over there. They take good care of us.
Spam fried rice, diced tomato. Do you have a recipe?
Yeah.
Because I would try Spam fried rice.
Link it in the chat if you do.
I just Googled Spam friend rice because I put an N in there for some reason.
Oh, spam, you don't want to spam your friend and then throw
spam
rice at them.
Spam friend with rice.
Yeah. You can spam rice. All right. Well, while we look that up, here's a story for you. Hurricane Ian, you know, the one that just ripped through Florida and did some real damage. They're still reeling from that.
The power just came back on in Florida from what I heard this morning, or from the parts of Florida that had the power out.
How are they doing in Puerto Rico? Still everything off, I'm guessing.
We'll toss them a few rolls of paper towels, they'll be fine.
That's all they need, right? Just some
all they
paper
need
towels.
Just somebody to go down there and toss them a few rolls of paper towels.
Great. Well, anyway, there's a video of a street shark. Yep, it's a dark
there's a video
fish.
Game right no what was
street oh you're thinking a sewer shark
maybe I'm thinking a sewer shark yeah is I there a cartoon it. Called Street Shark? I know I've seen Street Shark somewhere.
Oh, maybe, could be. So right there in front of you, you can see this video, chat. This guy's a horrible film person, but you can see that. Look at that. That's a, it's some kind of big fish. Now, if it's not a shark, who knows? It's got some kind of protruding fin. It looks sharkish. Yeah, that's something, man. I don't know if I saw what I'd think if I saw that. Someone just followed the channel and covered it up.
Isn't that, by the way, animated series from the 90s, Street Shark.
What was it about? A shark on the street?
It was The Adventures of Crime-Fighting Half-Man, Half-Sharks.
Oh, my gosh.
Produced by Dick Productions.
Okay.
In Dick Clark's deal.
I'm looking right
line
now.
Of action figures by Mattel.
Street Sharks. I've never
heard
of
that
this.
Definitely is a shark going down the street. In that
it does look right like on. It, right?
It totally does, yeah.
I would be shocked if it wasn't. I'm looking at Street Sharks artwork from the 90s, 80s, 90s. I don't remember this at all. I was pretty good about keeping up on, like, Saturday morning cartoon stuff. I don't remember this at all. Oh, man. They were basically just doing Ninja Turtles with sharks.
They were. Yeah, it's kind of.
Wow, there's a picture for you, chat. Look at those guys. That's so stupid.
Jabberjaws meets the Ninja Turtles, basically.
Yeah, I kind of hate it, if I'm honest. All right, well, anyway, so they find the shark, and it's all scary. They think it's about 4 feet long is all, so it may not be a big one. There's mixed opinion on whether it was a shark or another large fish. According to George Burris, former director of the Florida Museum of Natural History, in their shark program, said in an email, it appears to be a juvenile shark, while Dr. Neil Hammerschlag, who is also a tube of meat.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a tube of meat as well. Director of the University of Miami Shark Conservatory Program wrote that it's pretty hard to tell. So there's some infighting in the scientific community about what fish that
is. Wow.
Yeah. What would you do?
It looks to me, I say it looks like it's got a fin, but obviously you got to trust. We'll trust the marine biologists and stuff, but it sure seems to me like it's a.
Well, then you agree with this George Burris guy.
I do.
Yeah. I'll go Hammerschlag and just say it's another fish.
Okay, go Hammerschlag. Hammerschlag!
You never go full Hammerschlag is my understanding. Here's a fun one for parents everywhere. A shipment of baby wipes turned out to be $11.8 million worth of cocaine.
Oh, yeah. Wow, okay.
Yeah, that's how we do it here.
And they have a nice baby powder. It has a nice baby powder smell.
Mm-hmm. Just don't breathe it in and you'll be okay. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers discovered more than 1,500 pounds of cocaine hidden in a place where you would least expect it, a shipment of baby wipes. The seizure
it's not
happened.
Where I would least expect it, though.
I feel like I would most expect it in things like this because they're trying to hide it.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So why would that be least expect it would be...
In a container marked cocaine.
Yeah, yeah.
Plainly labeled cocaine.
Yeah, that's least expected. These writers, we could write these articles. Why don't we just write our own news? How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, happened in Laredo, Columbia Solidarity International Bridge. Let's see. This is a bridge over the Mexico U.S. border. Officials say, let's see, zibba zibba. They stopped a shipment of baby wipes for a secondary inspection. Following the inspection, drug sniffing dogs made a discovery of what CPB described as 1,935 packages of cocaine, totaling 1,532 pounds of the stuff.
Jeez.
Which is still. That's just a small takeout order for Don Jr. Anyway, moving on.
Exactly right.
Yes. Yeah. This reminds me of something. Why? Why does this remind me of something? I'm having a weird deja vu right here.
Like we saw an 80s movie that...
something? Oh, I know what it is. When we were going on the trip and we were waiting in line outside for an eternal amount of time to get checked in and get on the boat, drug sniffer dog comes through the line. Like they do at airports and stuff sometimes or whatever.
Sure.
So it came walking through there and it would get to a bag, just kind of ignore it, sort of sniff it, then move on, sort of sniff it, move on. Gets to us, sniffs it, starts to move on, backtracks back to Kim's bag and sniffs it again. And I kept thinking, I don't have shit on this bag that should be sniffable by a dog.
Yeah, no kidding.
Nothing. Like, what do you smell her makeup?
Oh, wow. But no, it had to do a double take. I love it.
Yeah. And the guy acted like the guy was pulling the dog. He's like, come on, and just pulled her away. And I was like, okay, well, that must mean nothing. It must mean this dog's distracted. But I didn't like that. Yeah.
Oh, I guess, yeah, if the dog just goes back to say, oh, let me hold on. Smells like fire hot Cheetos or something.
Yeah.
But if he barks, that means that's when things are bad.
It always worries me that what I don't want is to be delayed. Like, our whole thing was like, if I sat here for 3 hours and then your dog thinks I'm packing 400 pounds of cocaine or something, and you're going to make me go somewhere, undo the bag, check all through it and everything, and then make us late for this thing. I was going to be so
you
pissed.
Already had a tight travel time because you, instead of flying out the night before, you flew out that morning.
So. Yeah. So I was like, we don't need your false positive dog sniff. It was a cute dog, though. I hate that they all have the sign on that says, don't pet me.
I know.
I just want to pet him. Come on.
I do. Exactly. That's the payment they want. Nobody asked the dog if they could wear a sign that says don't pet.
Humans ruin everything.
They do.
We ruin it all. Okay, final story. McDonald's is now selling Happy Meals to adults. But it's a twist. Ooh. Okay.
Okay.
So here's what they're doing. They're bringing back
a free baby wipe of cocaine. Secret prize.
Is that the new measurement? A baby wipe of cocaine? I like that.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
McDonald's is bringing back its family of recognizable figurines to an adult market and in the form of an adult Happy Meal, which, yes, includes the toys beginning October 3rd. So yesterday, you can order a cactus plant flea market box. It's a Big Mac or 10-piece chicken McNuggets with fries and a drink. The meal is collaboration between streetwear brand and the fast food chain as it digs deeper into nostalgia.
Okay.
The food will be served in a specifically designed box that should trigger memories of Happy Meals from the old days. The toys that include redesigned takes on McDonald's famous mascots, including Grimace, the Hamburglar, Birdie, plus a new guy named Cactus Buddy. What in the
frick?
Look
at these weird freaking toys.
What's a cactus buddy, though?
Do you see these weird toys? Okay, put an image in our Discord, Scott.
I'm looking at the link. Why is a hamburger? Why do they all have multiple eyes?
Why do they all have multiple eyes? That is the question.
That's weird.
And why does this new thing, this cactus plant dude, just basically look like McDonald's attempt to make Sporky from Toy Story?
Yeah. What the heck, dude? Hold on. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Cactus plant flea market streetwear brand. Okay, that's the streetwear. Is it the cactus character is one of those? Why do they have four eyes? Nobody's
cactus character is the third one that looks like Joe Plato.
They're just they're just ignoring they don't address this.
No, CNN
thing.
Explain why we've got why do the
Donald's
mascots four eyes. Let's see.
You know what it is.
Somebody has explained this.
I know what they did. Mayor McCheese got reelected for like an eighth term, and he said, "Hey, four eyes. Everyone's getting four eyes." Says Mayor McCheese.
If I've got to wear glasses, everybody's got four eyes. Let's see.
We have glasses. I don't remember.
As people begin to purchase their adult meal,
their adult meal toys. That sounds bad.
The brand is known for their offbeat designs, and one of their signature elements has long been a face with four eyes. The company has previously produced bracelets and T-shirts that feature a yellow smiley face with two sets of eyes. This is the cactus plant flea market brand is the deal.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard of cactus plant flea market.
I haven't either. I mean, they're the streetwear people.
Flea market, not free market.
Yeah, they're the streetwear thing that are doing this with them.
Yeah,
like working with them on this, I think. But I don't know why this cactus Pete and everyone has four eyes. That still doesn't explain it.
I don't get it.
There's nothing nostalgic about it. I didn't grow up as a kid going Grimace and his four eyes. That never happened.
Right. No.
Hamburglar did not have four freaking eyes. I call BS on all this.
And Grimace is basically a butt plug, right? Can we just all agree that Grimace toy is going to be, that's what it's going to be used for. We kind of know.
Oh yeah. Right? Yeah. Grimace. He's ribbed for your pleasure, Brian.
Those four eyes are going to see things that,
that you'll have no nostalgia for, but you'll see them.
That's right. Exactly. Yes.
All right. Well, that was fun. Let's do
a
break.
It's a $12 Happy Meal, a whatnot?
Yeah.
I guess I don't know what value meals or combo meals at McDonald's go for these days anyway. So
well, the
I don't
kids
know.
Ones I think are still in the $5 range, but I think this is like, okay. This is all adult food, so it's a full Big Mac and all that. I mean, whatever. Okay. Everything's gone up too much. That I know for sure.
Jeez. All right. Well, listen, if it wasn't Taco Tuesday, it is officially National Taco Day, and it fell on a Tuesday this year. I would do something for the fans, and I would go to McDonald's and get and see if I could specifically request the weird Cactus Buddy toy in my adult Happy Meal.
You know, I might do this. I got to take Van somewhere for lunch. Maybe I'll do that.
Oh, there you go.
He'll get a little kid one. I'll get the adult one.
Get the adult one. With the, specifically with, request Cactus Buddy.
With the four four-eyed butt plugs that come with the adult one.
Right. Right. Well, yeah.
Let's see what we can do. Cactus Peter. Cactus Buddy, is that what it is? Yeah, yeah. See, he must be the streetwear mascot.
He's the mascot for the streetwear company. Yeah.
He just looks like Mr. Bill.
He really does. Exactly. It's like, how long did that take to come? I guess it's their logo, their brand, but still, like,
very weird. Yeah. All right, well, we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, we're going to take a break, and on the other side we'll have Bill here with a little bit of making stuff, and then Bobby will be here with some science. So get ready for all of that. Prepare yourselves by listening to this song Brian Heth brought.
Listen, our favorite Five Nights at Freddy's fan, Jack Fox, a.k.a. Badger Lord, a.k.a. Animatronic Badger in Discord, wrote in and said, Dear Springtrap and Bonnie, got another Five Nights at Freddy's song for you. Obsolete is one of the many FNAF songs that I love. Is that the appropriate way to say FNAF, by the way?
I don't FNAF? Know. FNAF? I don't know.
FNAF?
No idea.
This one in particular can be completely enjoyed without any connection to the franchise whatsoever. As such, I thought it would see if it would fit on the show. The song is from the Five Nights at Freddy's Ultimate Connection album, collection album. While I'm not 100% sure of this, I believe the song itself is sung from the perspective of all of the animatronics from Ultimate Custom Night, in which William Afton, the main villain, is trapped in hell or purgatory and forced to be hunted and killed over and over by his creations for eternity. As always, TMS brightens my day and helps me keep my chin up. In a world that relishes in negativity, you are both a beacon in the dark. Signed, Animatronic Badger.
Aw. We're happy to be dark beacons, yo.
Yeah, exactly. So yep. Claire says the F flows into the end. So FNAF, basically, is FNAF? How. So you got to say it FNAF.
Oh, I really don't like to, like, though. I really don't
FNAF.
Like.
FNAF.
Yeah. I don't like FNAF, saying it at all. It makes me uncomfortable. I'm never going to say FNAF. It's all FNAF, FNAF from now on.
All right.
Yeah.
So from the album Five Nights at Freddy's Ultimate Collection, here is Nate Wants to Battle and Obsolete.
Save, despite what you say, I can love. making a car move with the power of my mind.
Let's meet this evening's pointless celebrities.
As Shakespeare said, shit happens. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back. Hey, who is that again?
That again was Nate Wants to Battle in a song called Obsolete from the Five Nights at Freddy's Ultimate Collection.
Nice. And,
you know, somebody pointed out FNAF is a lot like SNES when you're talking about the Super Nintendo. So I kind of say you can't hate one without hating the other.
Or Spam, like we just talked about.
Kind of. Yeah. Except Spam, at least, is like a... Those are natural letter sounds that go together. SNES and FNAF, not. You don't usually put an F and an N together.
But is
like
FNAF
that.
A acronym or is initialism or something? Or is it just a
FNAF?
Yeah.
Is it a name? Yeah, Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, shit. I thought this was a character in Five Nights. That's how stupid I am. I thought we were talking about... Because we went from Mayor McCheese and all these other characters to like... Oh, FNAF. He's one of the Five Nights at Freddy's characters named FNAF. That's what I thought. How dumb is that?
You know, it happens. It happens, Scott.
Every day it happens.
You're forgiven. You're forgiven for not making the connection because, you know.
I'm forgiven in perpetuity is what you're saying. Great.
That's right. Exactly.
Check this out.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
It is Bill Duran joining us all the way from punishprops.com. We're currently headquartered in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. He joins us each and every Tuesday to talk about the world of makers and making things. Might inspire some of you. You know, he's a real influencer, Brian. That's who he is.
He is. See, that there's an influencer right there for you.
Look at him influencing us and everyone around us. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Hello. Happy to be here influencing.
Good to have you here. What are you working on lately that'll make us all be influenced? I can't wait to hear.
Well, the thing I've been working on the most is playing Grounded, because I'm absolutely hooked on that game.
How good is Grounded? It is so good.
Oh, it's so good.
So good. I agree. It's amazing. You know what? When it first came out in Early Access, I thought, this looks really interesting. I'm obsessed with the idea of being shrunk and having the world, you know, represented in a way that felt like, oh my gosh, this is like real. Like these blades of grass are like trees for me. Mm-hmm. I love that concept, but something about Early Access made me go, I'm just going to wait. I love Obsidian. Their games are great, but I'm going to wait. We'll see how this goes. And I'm not a huge lover of survival games, generally speaking. But for some reason, that 1.0 version of that game just nailed everything about that concept for me.
Absolutely.
It's so good.
And you get to make stuff.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I'm guessing, here's what I'm guessing. I could be up in the night here, but I'm guessing at some point Bill makes one of those early tools you have to make an axe. Out of a pebble.
Like the little pebblet axe.
Yeah, a pebblet, and then you use like it's basically just a sprig of grass that's not a full-grown stalk of grass with like some, I don't know, wrapped in leaves or whatever to make it hold together. It's this awesome, beautiful little thing, and I could see that hanging on your wall. That'd be awesome.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
That's cool. Well, I'm glad you're playing that, dude. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Any of that stuff inspiring you to... I don't know.
To make something new.
There's lots of things inspiring me. I have some stuff I want to make. The next project coming up is something I want to make from the game, or the movie, not movie, show, Arcane.
Mm.
That's all I'm going to spill right now.
Mm.
But today, I want to talk about 3D printing files. So many people are into 3D printing. I want to talk about what's available and where to get them, because, like, there's a ton out there.
Sure.
We just finished up our Satisfactory build. The helmets were 3D printed, and I put the files for those on our website. We have a section on our website. I don't think I promote this enough. People go to punishprops.com. There's a free blueprint print section, and there are patterns there for like foam and stuff. There's also 3D printing files, quite a few of them, and again, they're all free.
Mm.
And lots of people do this. Lots of people have free files on their website to go download. We do have a couple of them for sale on our website. Some of the more challenging ones to make, my Blade Runner gun and my Vasha Stampede revolver are both for sale. But for the most part, most of our files are for free on our website, including those new helmets.
Nice. Nice.
It was so cool. Which were printed with a combination of like FDM and resin. So like, you know, some things work better, like those little discs and the detail little parts of it that work better in resin, especially if you're doing like something semi-transparent. And then if you need just these big bulky pieces that just need to crank out, then the FDM printer is just fine for that. Yeah.
So I've had a pretty good chance to scour the internet to see what's available out there. And this is just a small list of the sort of 3D files you can get. Now, obviously, props and costumes are my jam. There are a lot of them out there. In fact, my brother built a full Iron Man suit, but the 3D files he used to print all the Iron Man armor pieces, those were purchased from someone. There's a guy that just makes Iron Man suits. I don't remember his name out there, but if you're looking for an Iron Man suit, there are several people who only 3D model Iron Man suits. You can find the exact mark Iron Man suit that you want.
Is that like I didn't realize that was such a cottage industry to do nothing, that there would be a room for just nothing but Iron Man suits. That seems crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Is that also true of like stormtroopers and crap? Probably, right?
Probably, yeah.
Probably, like, yeah.
If you want a specific thing, and it's a big enough thing that a lot of people are into it, look out there. This particular guy, I think, does most of his 3D files on Patreon. So you can sign up for a couple months and get access to the files and then go print them. And what my brother ended up paying for these Iron Man suit files was ridiculously cheap compared to how much work went into them.
Sure.
Like, a bargain. Like, less than, I want to say like $60 or something silly. Like if you were to pay a 3D artist to model that, it would be thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, obviously props and costumes are out there, but toys, lots of really fun little toys, but also toy accessories.
Mm.
So let's say you want to make a wild weapon set for your Ninja Turtle toys. People have been doing this since before 3D printing, but people make custom accessories for their toys so you could modify your toys and what they're holding. Pretty exciting.
Sure. Yeah, that is cool. Yeah.
Give your stormtroopers that new weapon that they introduced in Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Let them upgrade.
Yeah.
There's also things like D&D minis. D&D is huge. There's tons of like people who sell minis. One of the things I like a lot is 3D modeling or downloading models for replacement parts. So, for example, I have a bunch of Sortimo cases. I used to sort all my screws and bolts and stuff. And it comes with these 1x1 containers. But I found someone online that had 1x2, 1x3, 1x4, 2x4, like all these different sizes of custom Sortimo cases. And instead of buying them, I just printed the ones I needed. Perfect.
That's really cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I also printed in a flexible TPU. I printed the leash for my gas cap on my car.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Wait, the little thing that holds
the gas cap keeps you from having to set it on top of your car and forgetting it.
Interesting. Yeah. So, wait, I guess that PVC stuff works for that. I guess it's flexible enough.
TPU.
Yeah. Okay.
A flexible printer.
I mean, I guess that makes sense, but that's interesting. Can you do that? And Brian, do you have a printer that can do it? Is it swappable with
Can I just do that on a standard, like Ender 3 kind of printer? Or
I'm not sure about the Ender.
It works. Yeah.
You need a one that's got a direct drive, so it's got a motor near the print head. It can't be a Bowden tube that has the motor at the back end of the Bowden tube, because it'll just
exactly what I have. It'll just jam that stuff in.
the rubber will just get jammed in the Bowden tube.
Yeah.
Okay. I had to buy a different printer head for my Lulzbot machine to print in TPU, to print in flexibles. Some flexibles you can print are not so flexible that you can print them, but if you're interested in that, you'll have to poke around a bit yourself.
Sure.
But yeah, there's tons of stuff around the house that I've replaced with 3D prints, and a lot of them are things I found online. Someone else had that same problem. They printed it and made a model and printed it and put it up on the internet.
How far do you think we are from things like, oh, my CPU fan died, here's a way to 3D print your CPU fan that fits that exact model of the motherboard or whatever? Do you think we're getting there one day where those kind of parts are
electronics and stuff are the
integrating electronics into your print all in one go? We're not there yet, But we'll get there. I'm sure of it. Like yeah. that's we already have printers that can do multi-material,
mm-hmm.
and you could I could totally see when printing traces and stuff inside your print.
They have stuff that'll print steel. Mm-hmm. They're big industrial monster machines that aren't they're not for your basement hobby room, but. Yeah. But yeah, like it just feels like we're on the way. I like 3D Definitely. Food printing. There was pretty sure they used it on the cruise ship we were on because that documentary I watched, they were 3D printing some of the pastry stuff.
Oh yeah, the food 3D printing. Like, yeah, oh, it's so yeah. cool. Like,
that
the
is chocolates so rad.
And candies and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm all for that because think of the manpower savings you would have. Think of all the jobs mm-hmm. you'd lose. I guess I don't know if this is a good thing or not. Anyway, well, that's fascinating. And you, is it still Thingiverse or where does everyone just go I wonder if this part exists. Where do they go?
So I've got a good list here. Thingiverse is still cranking for free 3D files. There's one called Thangs, THANGS. Yeah. There's My Mini Factory. Prusa has their own called Printables. So those are all like collections of 3D files that you can search. And I'm sure there are several more out there.
Cults is another one that I kind of like.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cults.
That's cool. I like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, this thangs.com is cool, man. They got a viewer, so you can rotate stuff. Do they all do that?
I don't think so. That's cool.
This could be useful for other things.
Anyway. And then if you find a 3D modeler that you like, I follow a lot of 3D modelers on Instagram. They'll have hopefully their own website where you can go. Gumroad is a great place where you can go to buy files. Same with Etsy. And then I found a lot of 3D modelers support what they do on Patreon. So you may be able to find them there.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this.
Eastman is one of my, there's a couple, Clockspring and Eastman are two
nice
developers or artists that I support on Patreon because they put out such amazing stuff. This mm-hmm. this Magneto that I showed off.
Oh, that's the Eastman guy, right?
This is Eastman, yeah.
Yeah, look at his work,
dude. Incredible busts, yeah.
Yeah, and if you find a 3D artist, even if they have free stuff, and you like printing their free stuff, throw them $5 here or there.
Throw them a little dosh.
Yeah. It's a lot of work, I promise you.
Yeah, I guarantee that Magneto bust did not poop out in in a half an hour on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. No. Yes.
There was a lot of work behind that. Well, this is great. Great way to send people to some proper resources. I like I like this Thangs place. This is great.
Gitpul Xander asks, has the LiDAR sensor on Apple devices improved the ability to scan objects and use them to make a 3D model? Oh, totally. You can speak to this as well, Bill, but I just watched Uncle Jesse just did kind of the opposite of what you usually think about with 3D scanning. Like instead of scanning a model or scanning something small, he used it to make a floor plan of his office. So then he has this like little miniature 3D printed floor plan of his office with his desks and the pillars and all that stuff.
Who's
cool.
Uncle Jesse? Uncle Jesse from the show? Or
Dukes of Hazzard? No, he's just a dude named Uncle Jesse who has a weird gray spot in one of his eyebrows that distracted me for the first 5 videos that I watched of his.
Also, his name is Clayton.
Oh, it's Clayton? His real name?
It's not even Jesse?
Jesse.
Oh, I want my money back.
Yeah. He's just a big he's a fan of the Duke boys. I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's totally fine. He could be called Boss Hog, and then we're in real trouble.
And he laughs at everything that he talks about. I've just printed out this great Cyclops bust, and let me tell you, in resin, it just looks amazing.
Oh, I love it. I love a guy who can laugh at his own jokes ridiculously with his eyebrow. Well, all right. Great advice, as always, Bill. I can't wait to see what you're making next. I hope it's just a cool little axe made out of a pebble and a sprig. That's what I want to see. Anything else you want to drop on us today? A little bonus something?
Yeah, a little video from our buddy Bob over at I Like to Make Stuff. He made a Graflex lightsaber. This is the Anakin/Luke original lightsaber. And the Graflex flash handle is the original piece that they used to make them. And he got his hands on one. They ain't cheap, I know that. And he modified it to turn it into a very screen accurate looking lightsaber. And I thought that was really cool.
That is cool.
That's really cool.
That's awesome.
I have a couple of those versions of that lightsaber, but not one made from the original stuff. I think that's pretty awesome.
I agree. Man, you guys all need to go. When you go to your conventions and stuff, is it also is it double for a beard convention? Because you all have the beard.
you should go to one of them, Scott.
I'd love to. I would love to see you guys in your element. I'm not gonna. I'm gonna cosplay as myself in a nice, comfortable pair of jeans and a t-shirt. I hope that's all right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wouldn't mind. But look at all these beards, and I got a beard.
Oh yeah,
I could fit right in to the beard.
Oh yeah.
Beard totally. Culture.
We'll put a grinder in your hands. I'll get a photo of you grinding some metal with sparks and everything. You'll be perfect.
Yeah, and the whole world exactly. will think I'm good at a thing that I'm not.
You'll be an influencer, Scott.
Sure. Which is really what I've been, I've been looking for a way.
Finally, yes, exactly.
My boat has come in. Bill Duran, everybody, punishprops.com. And of course, Chinbeard on Twitter, where he posts a lot of this stuff. So he's a good follow over there. Go check him out. Thanks a lot, Bill, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. I
had to hang up on him.
All right. We did it.
Wait, Claire is fresh today. She is
she's on fire.
How many gins have you had? Gin and tonics.
How many gins and is it all gin all the time? Why did Tally yell vagina? Oh, I'm so scared of the chat room today. You guys are scaring the hell out of me.
Yeah.
All right. Hey.
It's not something you whisper.
No,
it's something
you
definitely have to yell.
Yeah, you have to yell that. All right.
Like fire.
Check this out.
Science.
Hey, look who it is. Bobby Frankenberger joins us for a little science with Bobby here on the show. Bobby, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty good, man. Are you you weathered the storm? Anything smack you guys in the head? Or did you do okay? No big deal?
No, we did fine. It's usually always fine here in the middle of the state. And we just get some heavy rain and we had some limbs fall down from the wind, but no trees toppling over or anything like that.
Nothing horribly life-alteringly bad. That's good.
Yeah, occasionally, if the storm is slow enough, we'll get flooding here in this area. In Colombia, in particular, it's not necessarily something that happens all over the state, but because we have just three different rivers and a bunch of like reservoirs and dams that are just in the area, and so if they get overflowed or overfilled, then it can cause problems.
Sure. Well, I'm glad to hear you were not in its wake. I know we had a lot of listeners who were and are all just getting power now. We hope you guys are all doing good out there. Yep. Bobby, you probably brought a bag of science. What's in that bag? Can we look? Can we see?
Open that bag. What's in there?
Open
here's my
bag.
Science bag. No, have you guys gotten your flu shots yet?
Yes, I got mine on. What day was it where I had that horrible dream that night?
Yeah, didn't you do both of the booster?
No, that
and
was
the
COVID
flu
and shingles.
That was shingles and COVID.
Time.
That was 2 months ago. I have to get the shingles one again, the second one, in the next few weeks, and I haven't scheduled it yet. But no, I just got flu, and flu never bugs me, and it didn't really with like any flu symptoms. But for whatever reason, whether it was related or not, that was the night I had that heinous dream about me and Brian and whatever else. I don't remember what all happened. I don't even remember the dream now. Yeah. Whatever we talked about on the show. And it was...
Is that eating Skeletor eating my toes? Was that the one?
That's the one.
Yeah, okay.
And it was...
That's a common side effect.
That's a common side effect of the flu vaccine.
That specific dream.
Yeah.
I noticed this year's burned a lot more going in. But other than that, no big deal. Like, just normal.
Yeah, I know what you mean by the... It doesn't feel like a burn to me, but you can feel it. You can almost feel like it's pushing into your muscle sometimes, some years.
Right.
And, I haven't got mine yet. We usually... My wife, being a pharmacist, we're lucky. She just brings one home, and I don't even have to go anywhere. I'm spoiled.
that is nice.
So, but I got sick right around the time that we would have had him, and you just don't want to do it at the same time, you know?
No. Recommend not doing that, actually, if you can help it.
Yeah. But so do you remember that one of the touted silver linings of the COVID pandemic was going to be the mRNA vaccine technology, right? And that it would be helpful in developing flu vaccines.
That's what I remember hearing, and I remember thinking, that's rad. We got a new tech, and from now on, all shots will be based on that. But I don't think that's true yet, right?
It's not true yet. Not with the... I'm sure people are working on it and that they're gearing up for that. But I haven't heard anything about flu vaccine. Like, that's not what they're doing with the flu vaccine right now. But it does turn out that the COVID pandemic may have had a more direct positive influence on the flu, influence on influenza.
Was it all the careful?
I like to laugh at my own jokes too. So.
Was it because everybody was masking more separated, less giant events, stuff like that? Just made it so it couldn't spread and therefore take hold or whatever, or what?
Yeah, sort of. At least one of the strains, and that's what some research has found out, that they're saying that one of the four main flu strains has disappeared.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Wow.
So
disappear.
You know, like you just implied, we locked down in early 2020, and that the following 2020, the 2021 flu season was like virtually non-existent. You remember that? Nobody got the flu.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because we're all masking, distancing, everything.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Nobody was out doing things, and if you were, you were, you know, very paranoid about having masks on, most people anyway, and that just really put a damper on spreading the flu. And there's one strain of the flu, one of the influenza B strains called Yamagata, that seems to have gone extinct.
That's so weird. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. We don't go away.
Yeah.
Flu. We don't need you.
Yeah. Right? One down.
Yeah.
There you go.
Isn't it like the one? It's the one kind of like everybody always says, oh, I hate bees. I wish bees would go away. Well, no, you actually need them. They're good for the environment. Yeah. They're required actually for a lot of ecosystem stuff.
Yeah.
So then you say,
is there a good thing for flu bugs?
Yeah. Like flu bugs. Is there any reason why we want this shit? We don't. They can go away. There's no like dependent ecosystems on a bunch of flu bugs, right? Other than their own. That's it.
Not that I'm aware of.
Right. You heard it here first. Science, everybody, science.
It would be great for the flu to go away. I mentioned there are four strains of flu, right? Mm-hmm. There's two influenza A. I say four, but we're talking about four main ones that we focus on. I'm sure there are plenty more. But there are two influenza type A and two influenza type B. One of the type A ones you've heard of, H1N1, I'm sure. And the other type A is H3N2. And then the type B are Victoria and Yamagata. I don't know why they got like real names.
I prefer it. I'd much rather say, oh, I got bit by Victoria last night.
Yeah. Really? Because right. I got effed by Yamagata last night. I don't know, man. Like I heard the other day a good idea for like hurricane naming and stuff, that we should stop giving it regular people names and instead start calling it like Penis Ripper, Hurricane Penis Ripper.
Like really make them horrible names.
Yeah, horrible, because they're horrible. Nobody wants to be associated. Like if your name was like Katrina, yeah. 05 was a bummer for your name. So yeah. Give it a real name like Butt Cheek Stretcher, or, you know, whatever, some horrible name. And that's how we should do it. But I don't think they're gonna, but I'd love it if they did.
I like that idea though, all of it.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, butt cheek spreader in particular.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of Ian, butt cheek spreader really ripped Florida a new one. You know, it sounds so much more appropriate. But
it
whatever. Does,
and it fits the thing instead of like.
But
hi,
Ian,
Daisy.
Ian's like your Ian's like your barista at your favorite coffee shop. Like it's not a scary name.
Yeah,
yeah.
Anyway. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail. Back to your
Ian's the guy who tries and fails to make that leaf design every single time you order a half-calf latte.
Bastard. Burnt bean-serving bastard. Sorry,
really
go ahead.
It seems really hard. vaccines happen to be, they're what are called quadrivalent right now. So that means that they, quad meaning four, they target all four of these vaccines, or these strains of flu, right? When you get the flu shot, the one you got, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Targeted all four of these strains of the flu.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was a single deal. That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So they will, I think they make little modifications to it, you know, because you have these four strains, but these are the larger strains. If you were to compare them to COVID, you would say that they're the what do we even call them? I don't even remember the terms anymore. You know, there's Omega and Epsilon and whatever they're called nowadays.
Yeah.
But within each of these, there's subtypes. But these four are the main ones that are focused on. They're in recent years. They're the ones that have been dominant.
Sure.
So the data shows that this is really interesting. So there are two big sources of data that were dug through to see what happened with the flu. One of them is collected from Europe, and it was from a bunch of data that goes through Europe. I can't remember the name of the group that collects the data, but it was an article that was published in the journal Eurosurveillance. And they found that thousands of they checked out thousands of global flu genetic sequences, right? So when people come in with the flu, they can sequence the flu virus that they detect in you, right? And so they right. and they will make this data available to scientists.
Sure.
And they analyzed all the genetic sequences of thousands of flu viruses that were detected all globally, and they found zero of this Yamagata sequence since March 2020. They've been looking at all of that stuff since March 2020, and they haven't found it at all.
Okay, interesting.
And then in the FluNet data, which is the World Health Organization's data, they found 43 from China in 2021, and then 8 of them are spread out around 4 other countries in 2022. And by comparison, normally they find in 2018 there were 51,000 detected of this particular Yamagata sequence. And so going down to 8 is virtually gone. And they think that it's possible that those might not have even actually been detections of this particular flu virus. It might have been sensitivity from the sequencing. They might have found viral DNA because of from vaccines or leftover from previous years even.
Mm. Interesting.
So that's good.
Yeah, these are gone.
It's
good.
It's going to make it easier for us to target vaccines, like less we can open it up to other strains or whatnot, but they have to figure all this out so that they know what they can target in the vaccines moving forward, you know?
So before we get too excited, we should, I mean, obviously the notion that common illnesses, not common illnesses, the seasonal illnesses,
sure,
yeah. Can actually go away
mm-hmm.
in a relatively short amount of time. I mean, I guess what would be great is if we could figure out a way to have that happen and not need a 3-year pandemic with various levels of shutdown to do it.
Yeah. So yeah, 'cause one important thing to know is that like the news here is not we found a way to get rid of the flu. This is more of like this is really interesting, and they're actually having to change the flu, and this is a result of COVID lockdowns and everything. Like we don't want to have another global pandemic in order to get rid of another strain of the flu, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like that's yeah. not a really viable way to do that. And scientists have been trying to deal with the flu for decades. Like this is not so that's the news. It's like, wow, scientists have been trying to figure out how to get rid of the flu for decades. And this got rid of one of them.
Yeah.
It's just more of a very interesting kind of thing.
I agree. Well, I love this kind of stuff. It's progress,
yeah.
is how I see it.
Sure, yeah. It's like I said, it's going to change how they target the vaccine. It's not going to change how they target it. I shouldn't say it that way. It's just interesting that they don't have to target all 4 of those main strains anymore.
Right.
They want to exclude this one now because there's no need to. It looks like there's no need to have to target it anymore.
Sure. And when you say it looks like, that could just mean, I mean, obviously there's always more to learn, right? So we could find out next week. Oh, actually we found it. Some guy in Seattle was hoarding it in his basement. Now the virus is out again. Right.
Right. We don't know. I don't know a lot about whether the flu has animal vectors. Like I don't know if it's transmitted through animals at all, so there could be some that are in animals or mm-hmm. something like that. Like it just takes time. If they continue to see that it's not there anymore, it the longer we go without detecting it, the more confident we can be that it's gone. But Like you said, it could be hiding out in some guy's basement somewhere. And the flu, the flu is very good at spreading. So it could just take just one or two people to have it, and then they give it to somebody else.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's super interesting stuff. Along with things like this, your show tends to cover all kinds of scientific topics, including breaking late, you know, news breaking sort of things. But sometimes it's just like, hey, you ever wonder why your boogers get dry in the drier climate? Well, here's why, or whatever. I'm not saying you should do that story. One? I'm not saying you should
not
do that
yet.
For sure. I'm just saying.
I didn't know you had our I didn't realize I shared you our list of upcoming topics.
Yeah, I must have goofed and let it leak. But tell us what's coming up or what's happening this week. What are you doing over there?
Just yesterday, we published an episode of All Around Science that is about renewable energy and something called the last 10% problem. So it's surprising. We've come a long way in trying to figure out how to transition to renewable energy, which is something that our country wants to do. We're moving in a direction to switch to renewable energy sources, clean energy sources, but in particular renewable like solar and wind. And so in so doing, people have to figure out how to get there, right? And so we kind of know from all the planning, we know a clear path on how to get about 90% of the way there. Mm-hmm. And it's that last 10%, which becomes very prohibitively expensive and difficult to do, and they call that the last 10% problem. And so we talk about what that is, why it's a problem, why it exists, why it's so hard to solve, and what some potential solutions could be.
Well, very interesting. If that sounds like your idea of a good time, then it's on the podcast and available All Around Science wherever you get your shows. Hey, Bobby, it's been a pleasure having you on once again. I hope you have a great week.
Thank you.
Yeah. Stay out of the, I don't know, whatever you stay out of down there. Stay out of it.
Stay out of the dry boogers.
Stay out of the dry boogers. See you later. All right. There goes Bobby. And here we go to tell you people what's going on. Now, today is supposed to be Play Retro Day. It depends on when Taylor births. So if it doesn't happen today, it'll be tomorrow. We're just going to shift it today. No big deal.
Sure. Sure.
We'll let you
know. Got to be flexible with things like this.
That's right. Trying to be flexible. There will be a new diary today because I had a conversation with a 3-year-old that I have to talk through. So we're going to do that today.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that. That sounds like it's going to be cute.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one. And then a reminder, because I'm terrible at self-promotion. We do it here on the show here and there, but I think I'm bad at it. I think I'm bad at self-promotion. Brian and I have talked about this before.
Same. Yeah.
He's bad at it. We don't like pimping ourselves, for lack of a more PC term.
Sex workering ourselves, Scott,
right?
Is the correct terminology.
But now, Brian, if we're gonna climb that mountain called
Mount Influencer,
then we got to get better at it. So I wanted to remind
people.
Which is
what Kanye West used to do.
Yeah, he did. Well, in our hearts, he still does. I want you guys to go to frogpants.club. It is a URL that'll take you straight to a newsletter that I put out on the regular, and I started. Against all my nervousness, I decided to start publishing chapters of a book I started.
Yeah.
Whether it goes anywhere, I don't know, but it's up there and available to people. So if you are interested in that or a bunch of other stuff that may get posted here and there, I'm personally of the opinion that at the moment anyway, this resurgence of newsletters exists because we need alternatives to social media glut.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So this lets you do more direct type stuff, and I'm happy to see it growing. It's awesome.
Yeah, and it gives people more than just the blah, here's a couple hundred characters, take with it what you will. You get to kind of be more personal and give people more. I think it's such a great direction.
It is really cool, and I hope, I don't know, it feels like the internet's just like swinging back a little and saying, hey, remember forums, remember... You know, like Discord's getting used this way. Reddit is more like this.
Remember Pogs?
Pogs are great. Anyway, check it out. Frogpants.club if you want to join the Frogpants newsletter club deal. All right. Brian, we got a brand new patron. Sure. Or no, we got a patron I wanted to mention that's old timey.
Oh, okay.
Because we didn't get a new one overnight. So I want to mention an old one. His name is Michael Farmer. And my understanding is he is in charge of farming all the Michaels. So good
yes,
job.
That's true. Yes. If he doesn't do it, no one will.
Who will? If not him,
yeah,
who?
That's the problem. Yeah.
And if not now, when? Anyway, it's Michael Farmer. He's been around since 2014. Just wanted to give him a big thanks and a shout out. If you want to be like him, join us at patreon.com/TMS. There's no reason you can't join today. In fact, there's a million reasons to. Go read about them at patreon.com/TMS. For all else, it's frogpants.com/TMS. And we're going to get out of here, but only after we've played a song selection that Brian brought. What do you have?
Sounds good. I was just writing something down that I just thought of. We got an email from Al Nutilli, who says, this is really simple and easy. By the way, this is not for any event. Just thought you might like the band and the song. Cheers.
Nice.
Well, I do like it. We didn't have any other birthdays or anything going on today, so this is a good one for today. It's a band called Camp. I say it like that because it's got two A's. Camp.
Oh, weird.
If it was one A, I'd say Camp, but it's two A's, so I say Camp. The name of the song is Square One. It's a single they released last year. It's a cover of a song by Tom Petty. Here is Camp.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Had to find some higher ground. Had some fear to get around. You can say what you don't know. Later on won't work no more. Last time through I hit my tracks. So well I could not get back. Yeah, my way was hard to find. Can't sell your soul for peace of mind. Square one, my slate is clear. Rest your head on me, my dear. Took a world of trouble, took a world of tears. Took a long time to get back here. Tried so hard to stand alone. Struggle to see past my nose. Always had more dogs than bones. I could never wear those clothes. It's a dark victory. You won and you also lost. Told us you were satisfied, but it never came across. Square one, my slate is clear. Rest your head on me, my dear. Took a world of trouble, took a world of tears. Took a long time to get back here.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You're a total dildos.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack
for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.